Okay, we're starting in, on Sadichet Amabet. About 10 lines from the top, there was a question, Ibai and Lehu. So we're going to have this question today, and then we're going to actually have a different version of what this question was entirely. It wasn't really this, it was some other question. We had this question, if Ibai Lehu Amar Le, Zaven Li Litcha, Ve'azav Zaven Le Kura. They asked the guy to sell for him, you asked the Shaliach, to sell for me a certain amount of property's worth, okay, which is a half of a kor. And he went and sold a whole kor of property. Okay, so the guy sold more than you wanted him to sell. So do we say, my, mosif al dvarav hu, v'litcha miyakane? Do we say, at least, right, when the, what happens? He comes back, he says, look, I sold double the amount that you wanted. So obviously the guy's going to say, well, the sale is off. But the question is, which part of the sale is off? The entire sale? Or do we say, no, either we say that's the second option, ma'avir al dvarav, he totally went against him, and therefore we don't count what the shaliach did at all, and the whole sale is canceled because the shaliach didn't listen to him. Or do we say, well, it's true he didn't listen to him, he was mekayim half of what he was mekayim what he wanted, and then some. So then we just call it mosif al dvarav, in which case, the first half kor that he sold, as he sold a land worth a kor. So half of it, we say there's a good sale on half the land. The other half, he'll take back. So they want to know what's the story. So Rav Yaakov from Nahar Pakod, I'm skipping a little because we read this yesterday, brings a source that says like this, okay? Tashma. Now we're a few lines down. Amar balabayit lishlucho, tein lahem chaticha l'orchim. V'hu omer tlushtayim, v'hem na tlushalosh. Right? So he says, right? The balabayit says take one portion, tell the shaliach to give the orchim one portion. The shaliach tells them take two, and the orchim actually take three, and then it turns out that they were all using hekdesh. All the food was hekdesh food. Okay? So who's chayiv in me'ila? Meaning, right, they have to bring a korban me'ila. So kulam ma'alu. So now the Gemara says, what can we learn from here? Iyamar bishlama mosif al dvarav havi. This proves dafka mosif al dvarav. And therefore, mishum hachi balabayit ma'al. That's why you would say the balabai ma'al, because the shaliach, it's true he said do one portion, that one portion he said was good, and therefore the balabai is responsible for the first portion. The second portion that the shaliach added, he's responsible for, and the third portion that the orchim added, they're responsible for. But if you say he's going against, anytime the shaliach changes from the balabai, right, he was over al dvarav, and therefore, what do we want to say? That the balabait wouldn't be responsible at all, right? If you want to say that the shaliach, when he doesn't do what he says, even if it included some truth, right, some of what he wanted, then it doesn't matter. The whole thing is canceled. So balabait amai ma'al. V'hatznan, don't we learn that ha-shaliach sa'asha shlichuto balabait ma'al. Lo asa shlichuto shaliach ma'al, right? And don't we know there's a Mishnah that says that if the shaliach does his shlichut, then the balabayit's responsible, right? Let's say you tell the shaliach, go give the orchim my portion to eat, and the shaliach gives them the portion to eat, and it turns out it was me'ila. Generally, what's the chiddush here? Generally, we say, ein shaliach lidvar avera, right? But here, there was no avera b'mezi, the shaliach wasn't responsible, right? You know the whole concept, ein shaliach lidvar avera, right? It's like if someone says, jump off the Empire State Building, right? And you jump off the Empire State Building, you say, well, he told me, right? You have your own brain, use your brain, you know, it's your fault. So same thing here, but in this case, it was nobody's fault, it was a mistake, right? And really, the shaliach, the owner was responsible to have checked into it, that it wasn't mi'ila, and as he sent the shaliach had no way to know. But in the case where the shaliach doesn't do his shlichut, he doesn't do exactly what the balabai told him, like in our case, then shaliach ma'al. So what does this prove? That it's not ma'avir al dvarav. It's not ma'avir al dvarav. He went against what he said and the whole thing is canceled. No, the first part is the balabai's responsibility. We don't say, right? And as you understand, the Mishnah teaches us that any time the shaliach doesn't do what the owner says, the shaliach is totally responsible for the me'ila. But in this case, the balabai is responsible. What does that prove to us? That it's mosif. Because generally, when we say the Shliach didn't do what the Baal HaBayit wanted, we're talking about something totally different. Right? Here, since he did partly, therefore the Baal HaBayit is responsible for that part. The Shliach is responsible for the other part. In which case, it proves to us Mosif. Okay? And it's not going to be Ma'avir. Okay? That he was adding, and therefore we look at it, the first half, going back to our case, would be a good sale. Okay? The second half, he'd be able to cancel. But then they reject this as a proof. Okay? This Mishnah Megillah is not going to provide us with a proof. Why? Because Hacha b'maya skinan da'amra lehu tlu achat midado shabal habayit ve'achat midati. The source that we saw that said amar bal habayit l'shchot ten lem chatecha l'orchim v'hu amir tlu shayim v'hem na tlu shalosh wasn't a case like we explained it until now. It's a case where he said, take one portion on the bal habayit's cheshbon. Right? Or because he told me to tell you. I'm telling you, add another portion. In which case, it's very clearly distinct. Because then he fulfilled the shlichut of the shaliach in the first act. Because he said, take the first because of the Baal HaBayit. The second on my head. So because he did it that way, it's like that. But then this basically gives us no indication anymore, once we explain it this way, about is it Mosif or Ma'avir? Because this case is now no longer the similar case, right? The parallel between this to our case would have been if you said, I'm selling you a half a core because the Baal HaBayit told me to sell you a half a core, and now I'm selling you an additional half core because I want it, because I want to. That's not what we were talking about. So now the two cases are incomparable and we can't learn anything. Okay? And then obviously, just I skipped the last three words, v'shaklu inu tlat, and then they anyway took three. Okay. That was the first attempt. We're going to see that all our attempts are going to basically fail, if I remember correctly. I'm not sure, I don't think any of them ever succeed. We're going to have a lot of attempts to answer, but they're all going to fail. Okay? So that was the first attempt. We tried to learn from this other source. It didn't work. Now we're going to have another source, tashma. Haitak tubata mane. Okay, you're going to be familiar with this. It's from our Mishnah. If her ketuba was a mane, umachra shavem mane v'dinar bimane, and then she sells, what happens? She sells a plot of something worth 101 dinar, and she sells it for 100. Michra batel, right? Her sale, it is no good. Remember, that was the case in the Mishnah. If she sells it for more money, right, for less money than it's worth, and she sells a plot that's worth more than is coming to her, but she sells it for exactly the amount coming to her, okay? It's no good. So now, first they're going to assume, in order to prove our answer, that the Mishnah is talking about a particular case. What's this case? This is going to be a different pshat than the way we understood it. My love de zaven shavim mane v'dinar b'mane v'dinar. Don't we mean that, what did she do wrong? She took more land that was coming to her, and sold it for exactly the worth of the land. It wasn't an issue of ona'ah that we talked about, or right, that it was she sold it for the wrong price. She actually sold it for the right price. Okay, now you have a problem. What did it say in the source, right? She sold a shavim mane v'dinar bimane, right? Which, how do you explain bimane? For 100, right? Now they're going to say, no. What does it mean, bimane? It doesn't mean four, right? Bid doesn't always mean four, right? Bimane means, my bimane, mana shela. In other words, she sold it for her ketubah that was a mane, okay? Not that she sold it, right, for, can mean two different things, right? She sold it for the amount of 100. No, that's not what it means. It means she sold it for her mana, her ketubah, but she sold it for 101, okay? Now, if that's the case, okay, umai afilu, okay, but then it says afilu, even if she returns the money, right? So how did they read that? Afilu hi omeret achzirat hadinar li yorshim, bedina mekarkei, okay? Even if she says, I'll return the dinar to the yorshim, what happens? She sold the plot for 101, but I'll buy back one dinar's worth and I'll give that to the atonement. Now, why she sold it and then is going to buy back a part, tough to understand, but that's how they read it. And then, what's going to be the chiddush here? How's this going to connect to our case? V'katane michra batel. Now, what do you see here? Okay? This didn't work, right? So what are we going to try to prove from here? That it's a case of ma'avir. That if the shaliach goes against what he was sent to do and does something against what the guy wanted and sold more than he was supposed to sell, right? Because the woman, what's she acting? She's acting as a messenger for the atomim to sell the land that's supposed to be due to her for her ketubah. And she was supposed to sell 100's worth, and she sold 101. So if she sells 101, it's the exact case. She sold more. Now, yes, it's not 50%. I mean, you know, it's not not double the amount, like in the core and the half core. But she sold more than she was allowed to sell. And what do we see here? It's not considered mosif. The whole mecher is canceled. So what do you see? Dafka is going to prove ma'avir. Okay? Amar Rav Huna, Bereda Rav Natan, lo bida'oziel. He said, no, you're misunderstanding the case. The case is not what you said. It's where she sells it for less money, like we originally thought the pshat was. It's where she sold it for a money, and that's why it's canceled. It's not that she sold it for the right amount, and just she sold more than she should have sold, and therefore it compares to our case. No, it's a different case, and it doesn't compare to our case at all. It's a case where the property went to, you know, she sold it for less. It was for, right? It was a land that was worth 101, and she sold it for 100. And that's why the mecher is batel, and therefore we can't learn from it. Now we're going to have a whole diyun about whether, so basically in the end, that's what we're going to say, but we're going to have a whole diyun. Is it really bida'ozia? Like, don't we have a problem if we say that? So what's going to be the problem? Hami de seifa bida'ozil. If you're going to say that the seifa, this is the earlier part in the Mishnah, if you remember, right? She sells it for 101 for, right, for a piece for 101 for 100. But then, and which we tried to now explain, the Gemara tried to say maybe it's really that she sold a piece for 101 for 101, right? They say, if you're going to say that this she sold a piece of 101 for 100, it doesn't make any sense because the last case in the Mishnah gives that case. What's the last case in our Mishnah? Mida seifa bida oziel. Okay, we're going to see that since the seifa is bida oziel, have resha bida lo oziel. Okay, since the seifa is clearly a case where it was 101 and she sold it for 100, so then the resha can't be that case because it would be teaching us nothing new in the seifa. What's the seifa? You probably don't remember, so let's read it. Dekatane seifa. Okay, the Gemara brings it for us. Haitak tubata arba meot zuz. Machra lezebimane ulezebimane. Right, and they skip the third, but obviously ulezebimane. Okay, she sells the first plot of 100 for 100. Right, she sells the next plot for 100. Third plot 100 for 100, and then ula acharon. What happens? Yafem mane v'dinar bimane. She sells the last plot with a plot worth 101, and she sells it for 100. And what do we say here? What do we say? Everything else is good, but the last one is no good. Shel acharon mechra batel. Shel kulan mechran kayam. Okay? So now, what are they saying? I guess you could, this case has two differences, right? In other words, one is it's bida oziel, in which case what the Gemara wants to say is, if this case is where she sold 101 for 100 and we say this part is canceled, if we already knew that from the Reisha, then why do we need this case, right? Obviously, this case obviously has something different, which is that she sold three other plots before. Okay, the Gemara is not addressing that just yet. So they want to say, but look, that's the case. So if that's the case, it can't be in the Reisha like that. But then they say, no. Look. Reisha v'seifa bida oziel. They're both bida oziel. And what's the chiddush here? V'seifa ha-kamash malan ta'ama da oziel bida yatme. Aval bidida mechra kayam. First, they want to say a different chiddush than you might have thought. What do they say? The chiddush is, let's say she sold this plot of 100 for less money. Okay? Now, what did we say? And right? If she sells this plot of 100 for 90... Okay? And then, right, what happens? Nothing, right? She ends up, the sale is good. She just loses out because she sold it for less money. So that's what they're saying here. Hatama da ozo b'diyatme. If she sells the Yatomim's plot for less money and makes them lose out, then the sale is no good. Aval b'dida, but if she sells her own plot for less money, mechra kayam, it works. So then they say, wait a minute. But that we already learned. That was from the first line in the Mishnah. Hami dereisha shma mina. What was the case? Okay, I hope this isn't getting too confusing. But in other words, they're trying to figure out what's the chiddush of this case. Everything they can come up with was already said before, right? If it's that she's selling the 101 for 100, well, we learned that from the line, this the second part of our Mishnah, which talked about our exact case. If it's that, if she sold her plot of 100 for 90, well, she's tough luck on her. She got her 100. Well, that we already learned in the first line of the Mishnah. Haitak tu batam matayim Umachrashav and mana bimataim, right? Remember, she sold the plot of 100 for 200. Or, oh, shavim mataim bimana, or she sold the plot that was worth 200, she sold it for 100. Nitkablak tubata. She got her tuba. It was her fault. So that can't be. So now they're going to say, Mau detema hatam udi ista kala mehai beta legamre. Okay, by the way, I'm actually not saying it perfectly well. We're going to, in the end, say that that is the chiddush here. Okay, they're not totally rejecting it. They're saying the chiddush is that if she sold her plot for 90, okay, because the plot was worth 100, she's stuck with it. Even though we learned it in the first line, though, why do we have to repeat it? Because you might have thought, ma'u detema, hatamu de, what's the difference between the first case and the last case? The first case is where there was one plot of matayim that she sold for money. Here, there's four different plots that she sold. So what might you have thought? Hatam hu de ista kala mehai beta legamre. When she sold that 200 for 100, she was done at that point. That was her end, right? That was her cutoff from them. Aval hacha, nigzor mana rishon, atu mana achron. You might have thought here, though, since she might have an opportunity to, in the end, sell their plot for less money, you know, and if she sells their plot at the end, and it's here, when she sold the 100 for 90, she wasn't finished yet. There was still more sales. She had to still sell more land to get her full plot. And you might have thought that if she sells a plot for 100, of 100 for 90, and then later on she sells a plot of 120 for 100, the last plot, and causes a loss for the Yatomim, well, that won't be any good. So you might have thought we'll be gozer on this case also to say the mecher is batel, so that we don't get into a problem with the other case. Okay? So whereas the first case, it was one sale and that was the end of it. We were done. She wasn't ever going to sell any land to the Yatomim anymore. But in this case, since some of the land she's going to sell is going to be for her sake, and there's a potential that she might end up selling land that belongs to the Yatomim, we don't want there to be any confusion. So you might have thought that we cancel this first mecher and say it's no good if she sells it for less. And therefore, kamashmalan, that's why they had to teach this case in the Mishnah, to teach you, yes, it's teaching you the same thing as before, but it's teaching you that you don't have to make a gzera. You would have thought maybe we make a gzera and cancel this mechira also, the 100 to 90 that she sold of her own stuff, you know, the Yatomim stuff for her sake. No. In the end, she's judged independently of the Yatomim. We don't make a gzera, zera to zera. In the end, and all of the parts that she sells leading up to the very final sale, if she sells them for less money, she takes the loss. Once it gets into the Yatomim's money, if she sells it for a loss, then the whole mecher is canceled, but just that part of the mecher and not the earlier ones.
I don't understand okay. How you read it all into that fourth case that she sold the first plot for less than their worth. Like that first.
The fourth plot? Oh, the first plot. I agree with you. That's a challenge.
Where is it
but
even
because it says machra lezebim maneh velezebim maneh. It doesn't exactly say, in other words, it could be, you don't know.
Yeah.
They're reading into
it.
They're making a total assumption here. Because they're trying to figure out, and what's their struggle? Their struggle is, what's the chiddush of this over that? That's what they can't figure out. So because of that, they're saying it must be that there's something else going on here. So when they say, lezeh bimaneh, it means she sold that for 100, but meaning she sold it not for, again, the 400 we said before. It could mean two different things. 400 of her ketubah, or 400 dinar, right? Now then, for the price of, it could be for the amount of 100 dinar, or for a plot of land that was worth 100. So they're understanding it now for a plot of land that was worth 100, even if she didn't necessarily sell it for that. But you're totally right that this is far off from the pshat of the Mishnah. Okay?
You could read it because if it's divided four ways and it was 400, and the fact that she did the fourth one for 100 plus a dinar,
or for less, actually.
She sold it for 100.
But that's why they're saying it's similar. They're suggesting that all of them were sold for less money than they're worth, but the only one that's going to be canceled is the last one. That's their theory. Okay.
They got that from Bimane.
Well, right. Bimane could be explained in a different way. It doesn't mean for the amount of 100, but okay. 400 of her ketubah, just like we did it before. Okay? Again, what's really going on here? They're trying, it's again a game. They're trying, you know, I call it a game. They're trying to say, can we find an answer from the sources for our question? If he told him, sell half a core, and the guy ended up selling more than, right, double the amount, or more than that, can we figure out whether it's Ma'avir or Mosif? And they try to bring other sources, and they basically say the sources are inconclusive because they can be interpreted in different ways, which would indicate that we can't prove from here anything for our case. That's in the end what they're getting at, that the source could mean something else. That's why it's also not, it's not that they're saying that's definitely the pshat here, but they're saying that could be the pshat, which would basically not allow us to explain it in the way they tried to explain it, which would have given us an answer to our question. Okay?
But there's a math problem here in a way.
What's the math problem?
Well, if you think about it, a person who has a piece of land, and if she's allowed to divide it into four, and then she sells the first three out of four plots,
for less money, and
she's maybe she should have been paid back after the first one. Maybe the first one was worth her whole ketubah, so she's really screwing the yitomim.
The fact is it's valued at a mana, and she sells it for less than that.
Yeah.
Now, we all go by the value. That's in the end. That was what our Mishnah said yesterday, that it goes on the value. If the value was 200 and she sold it for 100, that's her loss. It was a value of 200. So here we're talking the value of the land we know. It's just a matter of what she sold it for.
Right, but if the second one is worth 200, and that was, so she should have been paid back after she should have really been paid back after she sold the first one for 200, if that's what, or if her...
No, so this case was, the first plot was worth 100, the second plot was worth 100, the third plot was worth 100, and the fourth plot she sold was worth 101. Mm-hmm. And that's where the problem came in, because she sold, you know, she sold that for whatever, let's say 90, but it doesn't matter, because in the end, right, it was worth 100. And this one was worth 100, right? So by the end of the first 300, for whatever price she sold them for, she ended up with 100, okay? Obviously, if she sold them for more, then she would have had less. But the point is, she sold it for either the amount or for less. And then the last plot is where she got into trouble, because it was worth more, and she sold it for less.
Why do you think they're caring more about the orphans than the widow?
Because, first of all, she's the one selling the property. So I think they're, you know, that's the issue. If someone else had sold the property, then she wouldn't have to take a loss. It's that she sold the property and that was her fault. You know, she's the one doing the action here, so I think that's why she's responsible. And then she's taking money that's from the Yatomim, basically. When she sells 101, she's getting into their pockets, basically. And that's where the problem comes in. Okay. That was our question. We tried two answers. Neither of them worked. Okay? We tried to bring sources. Now they're going to say, some people understood the question differently. Be'ika de'amre. Haloti ba'ilach. They didn't ask the question, this is what we just asked, okay? So we're going to repeat the question we just had. They're saying, they didn't ask the question like this, which was, Hecha da'amar le'zil zaben li'litcha v'zaben le'kura, right? Where he told him, sell a letter, and he sold a kor, double the amount. Divadai mosif al dvarav havi. Now they're going to say, it's obvious in that case, okay, even though it wasn't so obvious a few minutes ago, right? Other people thought it's totally obvious, right? There's always people's perspectives, right? Totally obvious that he's Mosif. And of course, the first sale of the Letech would be, right? Half of that property would be a good sale because all he did was add on to what he wanted. But, ki tibayelach de'amr le zil zavan li kura ve'azo zavan le litcha. The real question was on hafuch. If he says, sell me a core's worth of land, I want you to sell a core's worth of my land, and ba'azel zaben le'litcha, and he sold only half of it. Now, how do we view that sale? My. What do we say? Now, they're going to give two possibilities, and here's the logic. Mi amrinan, amrale ditavalach avdelach, di'ilo mitzdarchelach zuze lo matzitadarbe. Could it be that he's saying to him, look, I did you a favor. Why did I do a favor? What's the assumption? Why do people sell land? Because they need money. So he says, yeah, look, you wanted me to sell a whole core's worth, but in the end, maybe you won't actually need all that money. And therefore, I saved you because in the end, if you don't need the money, you're going to want to take back that half a plot of land. And you won't be able to. You know, you can't be Choserbo. I already did the sale. So maybe I'm doing you a favor because maybe you don't need all the money up front right now. And therefore, you won't have to lomatzit hadrapah be. You won't need to go and, you know, renege on your deal with the guy and try to buy back your land. Odilma, or maybe on the flip side, amale lo nichale de lifshu shtari ilave. Maybe he says, no, but I don't want. In the end, what's going to happen? When he does need the money, he's going to have to buy it again, sell it again. In which case, he's going to have a shtar that he sold this and a shtar that he sold that, right? When you go to get a credit card, right, they check your credit rating. This guy doesn't look so good. He looks like he needs money all the time, right? He sold this land, and he sold that land, and he sold that land. And you're better off just selling it all in one sale, and you don't have all these shtarot out that you spent all the, you know, you needed money all the time. So the question is, which one is, right, which one weighs in more? Okay, again, not wanting to sell all your money up front because maybe all your property up front because maybe you won't need the money, or not wanting to have too many shtarot out. Amar Rabbi Chanina Misura. So now again, the same thing's going to happen. They're going to try to bring, you know, proofs, and then they're going to basically reject them. Okay? So, Tashma. Natan lo dinar shel zahav. He gives him a dinar of zahav. Okay, do you guys remember now? A dinar is worth a zuz, but that's a dinar of kesef. A dinar of zahav is worth 25 zuzim. So, wait a minute. Dinar shel zahav, right? It's 25, right?
It's silver dinar.
Right, which is 25 zuzim. Okay. He says, take my dinar shel zahav, va'amar lo havei li chaluk, v'halach v'hevi lo, wait, but what's the, one second, there's something about six, shavesh shesh, one second, what's the six? Six sela, that's what it is, okay. It's six sla'im. Okay? Right. That's what Rashi says. Vehem shisha slain. Okay. So now the ikar is not that the dinars were 25 zuzim, because you're going to see, we're going to talk all about the number six now. Okay? So it's worth six slain. So he takes this dinar, and what does he do? He says, bring me a robe. What did the guy do? He bought a robe for three, and then ubashalosh chalit, and he bought another three, he bought a talit with the other three that were left over. Shnehem ma'alu. Ah, okay. And then it's going to be a me'ila case. Turned out the money was hekdesh money. They both are responsible for me'ila. So again, iamar bishlama shaliach ki agavna oseh shlichato umosif al dvarav havi mishum hachi balabaya ma'al, right? The first three was the shlichut of the ba'al, in which case the ba'al gets the me'ila responsibility. And the second three that he bought for the talit is going to be the responsibility of the shaliach. So that would make sense, because right, it said there that shnehem ma'alu. So that must be mosif. Ela I amar ma'avir al dvarav have amai ma'al. Right? So why would he say the balabayat's responsible? If he was ma'avir, as soon as he did something different from what the owner wanted, then it's his fault. So hacha b'maya skina, and they say, no, what was the case? Da'aite le shaveh shesh bishalosh. Okay, what happened? He gave him a chaluk that was worth six, but he bought it only for three. In which case, only because of that did he do exactly what the shaliach, what the mishaleach wanted him to do. But had he bought one worth, valued at three, then you wouldn't call that mosif. The balabayit wouldn't be responsible because he didn't get what he wanted. He got something worth less money. I was thinking about this. My father was just telling us, he was in business, and we all got together for his birthday, and he was telling us all the stuff about his life and his business, and he said that when they sell time clocks, they have this company, they sell time clocks, and he said in the beginning, they got these computerized time clocks, and they got these Japanese machines that were really good, and they got them for very cheap, and they started selling them cheap. And then they realized at a certain point that if they sold them for cheap, people were going to think they were cheap. People would think, Japanese, they were cheap. They raised the price and people started buying them because once they look expensive, then people start, you know, thinking they're expensive. So I thought about it in the sugya because it's all about what price it is and what the object's actually valued at and what the guy wanted when he said, I want you to spend six on a robe. Did he want a robe that was worth six or did he want a robe that was worth three? And did he want a robe that was worth 12? Maybe, yeah. We're going to see in a minute that maybe he wanted something worth more, right? And how do prices fluctuate and what do they mean? So basically what they're going to say here is if he wanted a robe worth six and the guy bought him a robe worth three, that's not doing his shlichut. And that was what we tried to prove. That here he did half, he got him, right? He got him a robe. What's the difference, right? Originally, think, what's the difference whether it's a robe that you sold for, that you bought for three or you bought for six? Which the truth is, there might not be a difference, is what I'm trying to say. But it's, they say, and then it would be comparable, because why is this comparable? If he said, I want you to sell a core of land, and in the end, he sold half of that amount, right? Here it's like the same. He said, I want you to spend six on a chaluk, and he only spent three on the chaluk, right? So that's the similarity between the two cases. They're not 100% comparable. You could start making questions, but that's the similarity. But they say, it must be only in the case where he said, I bought you a chaluk that was worth six, but I got the guy down in price to three, okay? In which case, he got exactly what he wanted, and then there was just some leftover money. And that's why the Bala buy at Ma'al here. But if it was a regular case where he bought it for three, and it was worth three, then it wouldn't be the case where the Bala buy it was Ma'al, or at least possibly, right? This is all just, again, can we interpret it this way? Can we interpret it another way? If we can interpret it both ways, then we can't prove from here anything. So that's the way of rejecting it and saying this is incomparable. Okay? Okay, so then they say, so ihachi, if he spent the six, he bought a value of six robe, right, for three, then ihachi shaliach hamay ma'al, so then why did the shaliach have to pay anything? So they say, no, because atalit, right, he was responsible for the talit part, because then he spent another three of this money on a talit. So then they say, ihachi, but then we have another question. Ema seifa, what's the seifa of that Mishnah? Rabbi Yehuda Amar, Af bezeh balabayit lo ma'al, mipnei sheyachol lomar, chaluk gadol hayiti mevakesh, va'ata heveta li chaluk katan vera. Okay? Rabbi Yehuda says, the balabayit, he disagrees. The Tanakhama says the balabayit's responsible. Rabbi Yehuda says the balabayit's not responsible because the balabayit can say, you didn't do what I wanted. I wanted a chaluk gadol, you brought me a chaluk katan. I wanted something worth six, you brought me something worth three. So if Rabbi Yehuda disagrees saying that, then obviously the chaluk he bought him was only worth three, in which case it rejects our hacha b'mayas kinan. Now it can't be, right? We tried to say, don't learn from this char case because you could explain the Mishnah this way. You can't explain the Mishnah that way. And they say, no, don't worry, you still can. Because my ra, okay, this is all about price fluctuation and the meaning of price. It's very interesting. My ra b'damin. It means you wasted my money. You didn't get me my money's value. Now, doesn't mean you bought me a chaluk that was worth three. What does it mean? De amrale, he aitit li b'shit, kol shaken, to have a shavet tarte srei. What does that mean? Shit is shesh, tarte srei is 12. Saying, I gave you six to buy it, but I knew that if I'm giving you a high amount, okay, the assumption here is that the more you buy of something, the cheaper price you're going to get. Okay? Like, I was thinking of the example, and we'll see this, if I go to buy yogurts in the store, and you go buy individual yogurts, right? So if I buy four yogurts individually, it's going to cost me, let's say, five each, 20 shekels, okay? If I buy an eight-pack, it's going to be cheaper, right? Those eight, they sell them in eight packs, you know, boxed like that. It's going to be only 30 shekel instead of 40. So his point is, when I sent you a 60 dinarim to get a chaluk, I thought you were going to get me something worth even more than that. It's going to be worth 12. And in the end, you bought me something only worth six because you spent three on something worth six instead of spending six on something worth 12. And the point is, not only did you, you know, it was a loss of percent, you know, proportionally also. I would have gotten, it's true, it's double, but it's like, you know, six more would have cost me. Some of the years, I would even say more than 12. So it's more than double. In other words, as opposed to 3, 6, right, which is double, and 6, 12, it's even more than 12.
So okay. He's somewhat responsible for not having given clear instructions.
It's true, right. He didn't give clear instructions, but, right, especially if prices fluctuate so much. Now they're going to say, dikanami dekatani, and you can even prove this, that it's this whole fluctuation in price thing, because moder Rabbi Yehuda, it says there that Rabbi Yehuda agrees, though, in which case, bikitni, sheshnehem ma'alu. When it comes to, even though he doesn't think he's responsible in Me'ila here, because it was really all the Shaliach's fault, because he didn't do his proper bargain shopping, you know, and didn't take into consideration the fluctuation in price and stuff. But in a case where prices don't fluctuate, okay, sha'kitnit b'sela v'kitnit b'pruta. In other words, it doesn't matter how much you buy kitni for, it's always going to be the same. Whether you spend a lot of money or a little bit of money, it's always going to cost you the same per kilo, you know, or per sela, or per pruta. Okay?
Related to kitniot?
Yeah, it's kitniot. He's talking about, that's what I assume they were talking about kitniot. Yeah. Okay, like types of beans and stuff like that. So, he agrees in that case that it's, that in that case, the balabayit's also responsible because whatever portion he bought that was the balabayit's, right? That's the Balabayit's fault because there's no price fluctuation. It has nothing to do with the shaliach, right? It's all about how much of his mind did the shaliach use, right? It's the whole concept of ein shaliach l'dvar avera, right? He's supposed to think for himself. So he's obviously, you know, well, Ruth is saying he wasn't so clear about what he wanted, but the point here is that if someone sends you to buy something, he obviously wants you to get the best price and the highest valued item for that price. So that's why the shaliach didn't use his brains well enough to figure that out, and therefore he's responsible. Okay, so in the end, it doesn't teach us, we're still back to, it doesn't teach us anything about our case. Shema mina. Okay, so we can learn from there that that's what it is. So then they say, wait a minute, but hechidami, ilema ba, so now they're going to say, it's not so clear about the kidney pasel and kidney papruta. Ilema ba'atra dimizavne b'shuma, if it's a place where they do it by, of like, estimating. You know, like you take a bag of, you know, you go into a store and they sell you a bag of something, right? So it's true nowadays they're measured exactly, but in those days it could be you just sold them a bag, an approximate, you know, without exactly measuring. So for sure in that case, hechadiyav le sela, if he's going to give him a sela, which is more than a pruta, mosle gabetve, he's going to throw in a little extra. So therefore, it can't be in that case. So amar papa ba'atra dechayle bekane. It's a place where they sell it in small measurements. And yeah, you buy 5 bags of the small measurement or you buy 3 bags of the small measurement. They're not going to throw in an extra bag. Okay, so they're all packaged in very small amounts and therefore it's not going to increase it anymore if you add more money. You're not going to get more for your money. Tamarle, kana kana papruta, because each kana costs a pruta. And therefore, you give them a sela, they're not going to say, oh, we'll give you extra. Okay, tashma. Now we're going to have another attempt to try to answer this question. Haitakshu bata arba meotzuz. Sound familiar? Machra leze bimane, uleze bimane, ulacharon yafe mane vidinar bimane. Shal acharon batel, v'shal kula mecharan kayam. So now, what do you see here? Why is this similar? Because again, right, they said sell, wait, in this case, why is it comparable? Because then last time we tried to compare it to the other case. This case is comparable. She's the shaliach of the yitomim. Yeah, but how does that? Why is it domeh? Because right. Because in the end, no. But he sold right. He sold it for less money, I guess. Right. So here. Mana is like the shaliach to sell 400 zoos. I see. I think they're looking at each one. She only sold, right? She was supposed to sell 400 zoos. She sold to the first one only 100, and then she sold to the next one only 100. And you see that all of those, right, are still kayamot. Okay? Even though, right, she didn't do what she was supposed to do. She was supposed to sell a plot for 400. Right? But yet she sold it like in 4 installments, right? So each time she did the sale, she wasn't selling the full amount she was supposed to sell.
Is the assumption that if they had realized this earlier, they would have stopped her earlier and they didn't find out until the fourth sale? Because if she'd sold one and it was the wrong amount, they would have said something to keep it.
And not even the issue of the wrong amount. I mean, the point is that here she's selling. She's selling a plot of land for less money than she's supposed to be. She's supposed to be selling 400 zoos worth of land. And what does she do? She sells only 100. So she's not doing what they wanted. And yet, each sale is judged independently, even though really she's trying to sell 400 worth. Now, what's the assumption? The assumption is she took this field that was worth 400 zoos, or 401. She sold a portion of it first. Then she sold another portion of it. Then she sold another portion of it. So each time she sold, she wasn't selling what she was supposed to do as their shaliach. So then the Gemara answers, oh no, don't think that that was the case. It's Kedah Amar of Shisha, Bered Rav Edi, in a different case, which we'll maybe see at the end of today's daf. Hachanam Bekatine. It was, just like they answered there, it was the estate owned different small plots that were each worth 100. So she had no choice but to do it that way. Okay? So they answered that question somewhere else. They're going to say Hachanami. You would say likewise. That would be the answer here. Okay. Now they're going to move over to a different case, which is maybe connected, maybe not connected. The Mepharshim have some arguments about whether it's the same, different. But it's a little different for sure. Pshita, what? It's obvious that if Amar le'echad velo l'shnayim, if he sends a shaliach to sell land and he says to him, sell to one guy and not to two guys. Okay, this goes back to the whole thing about does he not want to have a lot of shtarot out, his name.
And how clear are his instructions?
And how clear were his instructions? Ha'amrale lechavelo l'shnayim. That's obviously he said to him lechavelo l'shnayim, and therefore if he sells it to two, it's no good. But amrale leechad stama mai. What if he just says, I want to sell it to one person? I want you to sell to one guy, but he doesn't say and not to two. Now some people say it's obvious from here that if he just says stam, then we don't assume that people don't want shtarot and he can sell to as many people as he wants. What's the question here? The question here is there's a toss-up. On the one hand, you don't want too many shtarot. On the other hand, you also want to get your land sold. So you don't care. You sell it to however many people. I want the money. So there's two things going on. So most of them are freshim. Some people have different nuschaot, and actually the question is about stam. What if he didn't say anything? Do you assume that? But let's read it the way this text says, which is stam. Obviously, he doesn't care. Just get the land sold. But if he said le'echad, he didn't say v'lo l'shnayim. Did he mean v'lo l'shnayim? Or did he say adif echad? But, if it's more than more. So my. Rav Huna amar le'echad v'lo l'shnayim. Rav Huna said, take him seriously. He said one, he meant one. Rav Chistev, Rav Huna, da'amar travayu, le'echad v'afilu l'shnayim. Obviously, this is Guzma, right? Exaggeration. But he means it doesn't matter how many people he sells it to. He obviously just wanted it to get sold. The fact that he said lechad didn't mean dafka echad. Okay? It meant he wanted echad. Well, because it meant sell it to one person, but if you can't sell it to one person, I prefer that, but I'd also prefer to get the land sold. The point is that people know that he wants the money. So if the guy couldn't sell it to one guy, then better off to sell it to many people. Igla Rav Nachman l'sura. So Rav Nachman came to Sura. Ola gabe Rav Chista v'Rabba Rav Huna. They came to Rav Nachman. Amrule, they said to him, ki agavna mai, what would be the situation if they said le'echad? Amar lehu, le'echav afilu l'shnayim, b'echav afilu l'me'a. Okay, Rav Nachman told them this. Amrule, af agavda ta'ash shaliach. Would you say that would also be the case if the shaliach made a mistake, like in terms of what he sold it for, the amount, or there was something else going on? Amar lehu, d'ta'ash shaliach lo ka'amina. I didn't say that. Okay, I was talking about just the echav lo l'shnayim. Amrule, but they said to him, wait a minute, but v'ha'amar mar, didn't you say ein ona ala karkaot? That there's no din ona abai karkaot? One second. And therefore, right, if there's no ona'a, one second, ta'ash shaliach lo ka'amina, in which case, give me one second. Right. In other words, if the shaliach made... Right, that's why I misunderstood. If the shaliach, they say to him, the ta'ash shaliach, right, lo ka'amina, he answers them. Meaning, if the shaliach made a mistake, obviously, it would be canceled. Meaning, if the shaliach sold the lamb for much less than it's worth, then obviously, it would be canceled. But they say to him, but didn't you say ein ona ala karkaot? Meaning, because prices fluctuate so much by land, okay, which we know this to be the case, right? Whereas Debbie, our real estate agent, that there's no ona'a. If you sell something for an absurd amount or for way low, like, people are desperate sometimes to sell their property and they'll sell it for any amount, right? There's a divorce or something, and they, right? And it's fine. No one can say, oh, yeah, that was a mistake. That was ona'a. So how could you say that? So the answer is, this is a really interesting answer. Hane mile hecha de ta'a balabayim. Aval ta'a shaliach amar le l'tikune shadarticha v'lo la'avute. It's one thing if you sell your own land for less money, but if you send a shaliach to sell your property for you, then we don't say enona avakarkaot. Then we say, I sent you to be my shaliach. We've seen this before, by the way. You remember this? That he says, I sent you to fix the problem, not to create the problem, right? You've now messed me up. Obviously, I wouldn't have sent you if you were going to mess me up.
But you would think that the seller would have to agree to the sale.
So, no. I mean, there weren't emails in those days. He sends him far off to buy some, he's not accessible. He sent him to be his messenger to do for him. But that's his point. He said, I sent you to do a good deal for me, not to mess me up. Yeah.
Well, you could argue that, yes, that he's responsible for what the shaliach does. And, because he checked him out earlier, he told him or he didn't tell him.
Right.
All right, I didn't send you to do that. You
right.
Did that.
But here they're basically saying the shaliach has to be responsible. We'll just finish with this. And how do we know that there's a difference? Ditznan ha'omer l'shluchot tzei uchrom. If he says, go take my truma for me. Torem kedap balabayit. Okay, he's supposed to take truma. Remember truma, there's ayin yafeh, ayin benonid, and ayin ra'ah. Right? 1/40th, 1/50th, 1/60th. So, if he knows what the balabayit is, he does like balabayit. He may know your dad, that's how balabayit, torem bebeinonit, echad mi chamishim. Pichet asara or sip asara, what if he did more or less? Trumato truma, it's still good. Ve'ilu gabe balabayit tanya, but where it comes to the balabayit himself, taham ve'ala biyado afilu acham me'asrim, trumato truma. When it comes to the balabayit, if he errs up to a 20th, okay, up to, right, afilu acham me'asrim, even if he does more than 1/20th, his truma is good. But with the shaliach, it's only acham me'asara. As if the shaliach goes, you know, past the 1/40th, 1/60th, then already we assume it's no good. Whereas if the balabayit himself goes farther out of the 1/40th, 1/60th, then we actually say it is good. So you see there, we distinguish between the shaliach and the balabayit. Okay? Tov. We'll stop here. Sorry, I thought we'd get to the Mishnah, but we'll just leave it. We'll start that up tomorrow. I don't want to do too much over.